I'm going to start this the meeting for the Rehabilitation Committee. I'm Edward Crespin, the chair, and today we're going to talk about money that you folks out there who are interested in going to college, community college, and or university setting. And the persons here today are, of course, myself, Edward Crespin. I'm going to be talking about the Board of Governors grant and the Pell Grant. Then we have Christy Crespin, who's going to be talking about scholarships, along with Robert Wint. And then hopefully later on we will have possibly a representative from the Department of Oak Rehab come in. He's said he would come in possibly later on. He's running a little bit late, I'm sure, as well as Nellie Emerson, who is also going to be joining me. But I want to start off with the idea that folks who are interested in attending school do have money available to them. They do not have to be a consumer of the Department of Oak Rehab. That's one thing that for those who just want to attend school and maybe take one class, maybe take recreational kind of classes, even take ceramics or art class, they could do that. And what they could do, because if you're receiving SSI, SSDI, you can receive a Board of Governors grant. Now, of course, the grant money for the Pell Grant would be a little more challenging because they do want to see people use that money for not only their education but for a vocational goal in the future. So, but for those who are just interested in wanting to have that idea of going to school and just increasing their skill level, can participate and get a Board of Governors grant. Now, for those who are interested in going to the Department of Oak Rehab, you can then apply to us, and then we do have funding for that as well. Keep in mind, though, those who are with the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation, we are not here only for just educating people. What we're doing here is trying to get the person to get the pre-vocational skills they need, provide training, and then job placement. So when you do sign up with the Department of Oak Rehab, have a vocational goal in mind. That's what our purpose is. But today, for those who are in the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation, like I said, the Board of Governors grant does pay for your tuition. It does not pay for the health fee, the parking fee. Some of those who are legally blind can drive. Doesn't pay for the student representative fee, any kind of material fees. So you can have a share of cost of maybe $12 to $35, $45, depending on how many units you take. That part is going to be you're responsible for paying for, and of course you do want to pay it before the semester ends because then you wouldn't be able to register for the following semester. Now, of course, if you're with the Department of Oak Rehab, it's very important that you contact your counselor because we use the Board of Governors grant as a similar benefit, comparable benefit, and it does help our budget. However, like I said, you have to be in contact with your Voc Rehab counselor to make sure that the counselor knows you're registering, has your schedule, and then we can indicate that the Board of Governors grant is paying the tuition, and then we'll pick up the other portion. Those individuals who are interested in applying for the Pell Grant, you may do so as well. Anybody under the age of 25, however, they will count your total parents' income, unless you happen to be married and unless you happen to get the SSI, SSDI, and qualify under those guidelines. The Pell Grant covers practically everything if you qualify, depending on the units that you take. If you take a full load, you'll get the full grant amount. If you are taking only one class, of course, you're not going to get a full Pell Grant. But it does pay for more, and you can have a Pell Grant and a Board of Governors grant at the same time. Again, it's very, very vital that you be in contact with the vocational rehabilitation counselor to let them know that you are receiving those funds, and work with your rehab counselor to maybe work on paying other expenses. Now, you know, being legally blind or blind, you do have other expenses. You have your reader services, You might have special needs for transportation. You might need books that have to be in some kind of audible format, meaning that you might have to have the learning ally paid for. And, of course, you have all the electronic devices and other equipment you might need for attending college. But, again, be very, you know, informed and contact your rehabilitation counselor. For those who are here, do you have any questions about any Pell Grant, bug grant? Yes. Oh, yes, the FAFSA, you have to apply for the FAFSA if you're going to receive the Pell Grant and or the Board of Governors Grant. The Board of Governors Grant is requesting that FAFSA to be filled out. That's very important. That basically is the federal funding application. And you just can't go to the community college. And, many of them are beginning to have you fill out this form. And I believe you have to do it, I think it's in January, February for the following year. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the things that's really important is to hit the deadline that they give you. People are allowed to apply beyond that deadline, and there are often monies available, but you generally will not get a full package like you would have gotten if you hit the deadline properly. So that's really an important factor, particularly if someone is, a Board of Governors individual. They may often be qualified for work study, and work study goes in that first round. So a lot of times students don't get access to that if they choose to use it. And basically it's on working on campus while you're going to school.
When's the best time to apply for it?
Anytime prior to that deadline. As long as you hit the deadline, you're okay. And it is really early in the year. I think March 1st or something. Yeah, it's usually real early. So
it's real important if you're going to attend a community college or university that you inform yourself as to what deadlines are out there. A lot of people don't understand that it's getting more difficult to register because of the amount of people applying to these universities and community colleges. I highly recommend people to attend a community college first in that it gives you, if you've never been in college, it gives you a really good start in receiving services from Disabled Student Services and then learning the ropes of what it takes to receive these different grants. It's real important. And you, of course, you're learning the idea of how the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation operates as well. If you're very capable, then you could do other universities straight up. But the Department of Vocational Rehabilitation does recommend that people start off at a community college. But it's important that you really be informed about what you're doing. You don't want to just go to college and not sure have an idea what vocational goal you want to do. I mean, just because you say, well, I want to go to school, but for what reason? What's your vocational goal? What is your end of the road employment? Okay. I'll pass the mic over to, I'll do it to Christy Crespin and Robert Witt. And Robert works at the, Cal State University Long Beach as a career counselor. And Christy Crespin works at Patton State Hospital as a licensed social worker. And here's Christy.
Hi, everyone. I'd like to thank you for coming today and those who are listening in the archive or as a part of a stream, welcome. What I'd like to discuss today is specialized scholarships. We have, with the California Council of the Blind, we have a scholarship committee. I'm a part of it as well as Robert. Robert is the chair. And for those of you who do not know the answer because you're a part of it or whatever. How many scholarships do you think that we've given out, that we're giving out this year? Anyone else? That's it? We're actually giving out 6. And I know, I can think of 6 students off the top of my head who didn't apply. And I really encourage you to apply for all of the scholarships that you can. Why is it important to apply for scholarship monies? First of all, the scholarship monies are extra above and beyond what you might get with the Pell Grant or the BOG or any other financial aid. As a student with disabling conditions such as visual impairment / blindness, sometimes it takes a little bit longer. Sometimes we need extra tutorial help. Sometimes we need extra equipment. And so anything we can do to facilitate our education in an expedient manner as possible really helps not only with getting through school, but it also helps in getting a job. The California Council of the Blind Scholarship is based on some grade point average, extracurricular activities, and basically whether or not you will be a full-time student. And we really would encourage applicants. We interview each applicant after the applicant has turned in paperwork. It is extremely important to pay attention to deadlines. When the scholarship application is due, sometimes people will turn in the application, but the other paperwork, such as their letters of reference or transcripts, do not get turned in on time, and that can disqualify a person. So really, really, no matter what scholarship you're applying for, pay attention to those deadlines. Often we have people who we think are good candidates and all of their paperwork does not arrive, so we can't interview them and we can't give any monies out to them. The scholarship applications are generally out May? Yeah, March, that's what I was thinking, is late March, yeah. And so every year, look for scholarship applications. Google scholarship applications. Google scholarships and blind or visually impaired so that you can find all the applications that you might be able to participate in. Another scholarship that is available to you is the American Council of the Blind Scholarship. Again, this is a scholarship from the parent organization of the California Council of the Blind. And I don't think as many people apply or pay attention to being able to apply for scholarships like these. Who could benefit from them? The American Foundation for the Blind has a scholarship available to people who are going into occupations that work with people who are blind or visually impaired. And I've seen those scholarships, seen the application, and I said, gosh, I sure wish I would have been able to do that when I was going to school. We also have applications available for scholarships from bookshare.org and from Learning Ally. I've seen them. So I think people need to be really assertive in looking for scholarships and applying for those scholarships. I'm going to pass this over to Robert.
Again, good afternoon to everybody. A couple really interesting points have been hit on. Ed mentioned the, you know, kind of knowing what you want to do. There are a lot of ways to find that out. If you're in high school, you can often go and talk to a counselor. Sometimes there are career centers in the high schools that you can go to. If you're at a community college, many of them have career centers that you can go to. And just explore, find out what you want to do. It's very difficult to write a plan for somebody if they don't have a goal at the end. So it's important that you do spend a little bit of time on that, and it can really be well worth your while. There's scientific studies out there that indicate that those people who have a set goal in mind tend to be much more successful and graduate much sooner. So doing that can be very helpful. There are scholarships for all kinds of reasons. We have systems that we use that catalog scholarships, and there's 7,000-8,000 scholarships in there. And about 10 years ago, I read about a scholarship for a red-haired, green-eyed female of Irish descent. So, you know, there are scholarships for all kinds of reasons. The American Bowling Association has a $1,000 scholarship. And the only necessity is you must be a bowler, and the GPA requirement is 2.5. So it's not like, you know, the bar is set too high. But there's a ton of those things out there that sometimes they don't go untapped, but the applicants or number of applicants, which Christy was kind of referring to with the CCB scholarships, the number of applicants were lower than, you know, most of the organizations would like to see. So at least for me as the chair of the scholarship committee, I would like to see more applicants. It makes the process much more alive, and we can also do more for folks. I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing, you know, what we can for people. I'm going to tell a quick little story just to put perspective in place here. A lot of people complain, I don't have the time, it's too much work. Let's assume a couple things. Let's assume you're applying for a $1,000 scholarship. Let's assume it takes you, let's say, 6 hours total to write your personal statement. It takes you 2 hours to request letters of recommendation, and it takes you 2 hours to get your transcripts together. So that's 10 hours. If you get a $1,000 scholarship, if you think about it, you divide 10 into 1,000. And is that an hourly rate of pay that you would like to get? So, and sometimes I give that example with 20 hours, you're still talking $50 an hour. So I don't know too many people that make $50 an hour. So, you know, think of it in that way. And the other good thing about it is once you've done a personal statement, they often are very similar. And it doesn't take much but some editing to use it for several scholarships. Once you have your transcripts, you have your transcripts. Once you have your letters of recommendation, you have your letters of recommendation. So it can really be helpful. That first one will take 20 hours, but maybe the next one will take 10, and the next one may take 5. And so that ratio gets better and better for you. So just a little thought on, oh, it's going to take me too long or it's too much work. Like I said, many people graduate college and don't go anywhere near earning $50 an hour. So the other thing that's important is for you to ask. Let people know you're looking for scholarships. There are scholarships for all kinds of reasons out there. At Cal State Long Beach, there are scholarships in many of our departments, and many of our colleges have numerous scholarships, and some of them only have one applicant a year. And and that's really kind of crazy, because it's money that can be, you know, in your hands that can really help you. And let's say you only apply for a $250 scholarship. Well, that's a book or two, you know, and that just reduces the costs that you have to bear. So that's my little contribution to what you should be doing.
I understand that with the Pell Grant, there is some kind of different regulations now and things that people need to be aware of in terms of the time that it that it's offered, that you only have so much time to go through to get your units. So one of the things that you really need to do is to understand the ramifications of each scholarship and what you can do and what you cannot do, so that you don't end up wasting time or taking too much time and then all of a sudden you're not eligible for something again. So again, read the whole application. Read the application carefully and follow it through step by step by step. Again, I can't specify enough to say that in order to get a scholarship, a person has to be able to complete the full process so that the person doesn't get disqualified.
Yes, hold on. Let me turn on the mic because they want it recorded. Okay.
This is Donna from Pasadena, and I just wanted to find out, Christy mentioned Googling to find out about scholarships, and I'm wondering, are there other tools that any of you could recommend that people can also use, other resources for searching for those scholarships, whether it's tools on campus or other tools within the internet to help people find those scholarships? Thank you.
There is a website, FastWeb, and a lot of students use it. There are other sites too. It just like it sounds, FastWeb. Yeah. Sorry if I didn't pronounce it. Also, what I mentioned is we have two online products. One of them is called Choices. Many, many colleges, high schools have purchased this product. And then there's also another one called Eureka, and Eureka is in many high schools also. Yes, just like the Eureka. And both products have a listing from the Peterson Guide Scholarships materials. So they both generally use the same listing of scholarships. I happen to like the Eureka's search method a little better. But both products help you get through, like I said, 7,000 scholarships pretty quickly by making selections. You know, are you this age? What, Here are you in college? What's your goal? You know, that kind of thing. What's your income? And it basically narrows down and gets you a list of scholarships that you can look at and make decisions about. The other thing is to think about companies that make products that may be sold to the blind community. Sometimes those companies have scholarships, and it might be worth your while to go on their websites and check that kind of thing out. So those are a couple sources.
If we have union members or parents who are union members, family, unions have scholarships. And other organizations and agencies often have scholarships for employees, family members, or employees of those organizations. So those are some really good places to look for scholarships.
Hi, I don't know if I'm being heard, yeah. Right? Okay, Eric Calhoun, I'll try this again. Okay, I think one of my biggest downfalls when I did apply for a scholarship is, you know, if you apply for a scholarship and you get the credit hours, but you have to get the credit. And for me, it was a very, very tough road path for me to go from Ohio all the way out to El Camino College to start all over again. And to me, if and when I do get myself a new computer, you know, I pretty much gave up rehab completely because I'm willing to go back to college again, but only on the computer. Are there any type of scholarships so someone can go ahead and, you know, get be able to do their coursework on the computer so they don't have to go through the tedious process of having to go through a college classroom?
Actually, we do have a scholarship recipient, and Robert can...
Yeah, this year and last, actually, California Council of the Blind allotted a scholarship to an individual who's doing an online program. So sometimes you just have to ask. It may not be spelled out, and sometimes you have to get special documentation, but it's certainly a legitimate way for people to go. And in some circumstances, I think it's... an excellent alternative to, you know, brick and mortar. It really depends on the degree, depends on what you're trying to do. Some degrees don't lend themselves to online, but like I said, the California Council of the Blind has been, you know, giving scholarships at least the last 2 years that I know of to people who have done online, and so I'm sure that that's something we'll continue to do. I don't see why we wouldn't.
To answer some of that, there is quite a few community colleges offering online courses. So you can go to a community college and go that route. Of course, if you're doing your general education, depending on what you're going to be, what courses you're going to do online, so you're going to have to select that. But you have to be careful with full online courses because you might not get the units and credits to transfer to a university. That's a danger about doing anything online. Now, once you're working on your BA degree, there are more and more universities that are doing online and master programs as well. But again, you have to be very specific and know exactly what you want to do. Don't just take a class because it's online. You want to make sure that that class counts towards the units you need to transfer to a university setting. So, community colleges and universities are doing things online. They understand that people are working and commutes are very difficult, so that's important. I want to bring up the idea that scholarships are really important money for people who are visually impaired and blind because it does help with some of those things that are not covered. And if you're not with the Department of Voc Rehab, it sure would help tremendously. So you could attend community college using the Pell Grant, the Bog Grant, and a scholarship, and work yourself through school that way. However, with the Department of Voc Rehab, we do not count the scholarship as money. So if you're getting a scholarship, we're not going to say, well, how much is it, and we'll deduct it from what we're going to help you out with. We don't do that. And same with the BOG grant. That doesn't mean if you get a BOG grant, we're not going to help you with a share of cost and say, well, that's your responsibility. It's only $10 or $12 or $35. We don't do that. Same with the Pell Grant. However, again, if you're working with the Department of Voc Rehab, you do have to let us know what kind of grant money you're getting, what kind of scholarship money you're getting. It helps us understand your financial needs as what shortcomings you have, especially if you have special needs for special equipment. Nellie Emerson has come in. Her flight finally made it. And she is the Department of Rehabilitation, Blindfield Services. She's a staff service manager, otherwise supervisor. I guess most everybody would understand that. Department of Vocation Rehabilitation in San Bernardino, and here's Nellie.
Okay.
You have to hop right into it.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'm very pleased to be here. And I just returned from the Seeing Eye in New Jersey with a brand new guide dog. And he's a German Shepherd named Atticus. And but I'm very happy to share with you that Department of Rehabilitation is available to work with you to help you to accomplish your goals that are going to lead you to a career with gainful employment and where you can accomplish what you need to do using your talents, your skills in going into an occupation and training that is going to provide you an opportunity to work for many years to come. And what Department of Rehabilitation does when somebody applies for services is we have you complete an application packet and all the information that's needed to get you started with your services. And during the initial part, there's an evaluation process, and that can include medical information, finding out what your level of orientation and mobility might be, and what your skills with independent living are, because all of those things are really key to your success. Once you go into either a college program or a training program where you're going to be preparing yourself for a particular occupation. And although here, we've been talking about financial aid for college, we are very interested in recruiting people who want to work in the Business Enterprise Program and be a manager of a vending stand or cafeteria. And the training program for the Business Enterprise has really grown in the past several years in terms of the advantages and the quality of the training that you receive. So when you're thinking about going into an occupation, please keep in mind that Business Enterprise Program is something that once you complete your training, it's a choice that's going to provide you with an income and your own business. So going back to college, there's a lot of resources available through the universities and the community colleges in terms of funding. And with Department of Rehabilitation, I don't know, this may have been mentioned before, is a requirement that all students who are participating in services through Department of Rehab must complete the FAFSA financial aid application in order to receive funding through Department of Rehab for school. And what this does is you receive all of the grants and scholarships that you are entitled to and that you qualify for, and then if there's still money that needs to come from another source, then Department of Rehab can assist you to pay the balance or the books and supplies and what you might need to accomplish your goal. And we are excited about many occupations that are growing now and in the future. And any of the careers in health services are growing. And these include occupational therapy, physical therapy, chiropractic assistants, chiropractors, and other related occupations in the field of medicine. We have some individuals who are have some partial vision, and they are in nursing programs and other related fields. So this is very exciting because there's a huge need. Another field that is wide open is the field of social work. That degree, working towards a master's degree in social work and being a licensed clinical social worker, provides an individual with a large range of opportunities. You can work in hospitals, you can work in public and private agencies, government agencies, the veterans hospitals, many different ways that your degree in social work can be very valuable. And in terms of occupations that do not require college education but require a high level of computer skills is customer service representative. And the Junior Blind of America has recently launched a very strong customer service training program, and they are providing assessments of individuals who are interested in the field, and then if the assessment reveals the right kinds of aptitudes, then they have the assistive technology training, and then they have the actual customer service training that people can participate in. And once a person successfully completes all of that, then there is job placement assistance also through Junior Blind to work with companies that require customer service reps, and there are many of them out there, and we don't know all of who they are, but we are finding out. And the good news is that people are getting hired. And then also there are programs that are out of state that are helping people to be placed in customer service representative programs Some of them are in Texas, and some of them are through the Lions World in Arkansas, and people can work for the IRS, they can work for Social Security, and these are real jobs that you know, provide an excellent income for people. So I encourage you to you know, just broaden your search, broaden your thinking in terms of what direction you want to go, and then do some research and find out what the training is required for that occupation, and then talk to individuals that are working in the field that you're interested in. Ask if you can do informational interviews. Ask if you can spend a day shadowing with them and find out what a day at that particular office is really like. Anyway, I'll be available to answer your questions.
Okay, Robert?
It just occurred to me, actually there's a little birdie next to me that... One of the things we, I think, might be helpful is for you to understand what we look for in primarily, and we've touched on it a couple times here, is be prepared. Do the work that's necessary to get yourself prepared. If you have to, if you need transcripts, make a contact, find out how long it takes to get them, and do it immediately. If it takes 3 weeks, then you may want to give yourself a week or two or three extra so that you can be certain that there will be no hang-up with your transcripts. When you go to fill your application out, make certain that you have somebody else look at it or go over it, just for a different set of eyes looking at what you're doing. And I don't mean the visual task, but I mean the cognitive task of actually just looking at that thing and saying, okay, did I get it right? Did I make sure I hit everything like I was supposed to? I often tell students with their resumes to have somebody else look at it, because you live with the document long enough and you begin to get a little lazy. And it's just our brain trying to make things easier for us, but sometimes it can not be a benefit. The other thing you want to look at is your personal statement, and taking enough time to answer the questions with some depth and some specificity. A lot of times people will say things like, well, I want to help people. And that's fine, but what does that really mean to that individual? I think if you really ask yourself, there is something in there that you want to gain from that process, and being able to articulate that can really make you an ideal candidate. On occasion, there's a lot of competition. So knowing those things and being able to articulate yourself in writing and or verbally, because occasionally you'll have orals and writtens like we do, then it's to your advantage to have practiced going over some potential questions, maybe making a list of things that you make sure you want to cover in your scholarship application and or your interview. You know, just going through that process can really help you not only to be more clear and structured, but to also learn the material that you need to be able to repeat. That way you don't have to, you don't require a lot of notes or anything, but you actually know what you want to talk about. I think that's it.
Wait. You got to get it.
Okay, hold on for a second, okay?
Has anybody had experience with private entrepreneurs that are in the scholarship hunting business? I guess you could call them scholarship hunters as opposed to headhunters. I don't know, but anyway, And that may be what they're looking for, is the students' money and nothing else. But are there some good ones out there?
The advice on our campus is don't pay for it. There's too many tools, free sources, websites that have free material on it. There's really no reason for you to pay for a scholarship application. And that's actually an excellent question, because when you do Google, you run into some of those people. Yes.
What I wanted to discuss is the appearance of the scholarship applications, which is another reason to have another set of eyes, because sometimes we will copy-paste, and we don't realize that we're copy-pasting fonts into other fonts, into other sizes, into, yeah. So it's really important to address that with somebody who can assist in that area. And this has nothing to do with being blind or visually impaired. This has to do with being smart and having people around you who can accessorize you, okay? And you might have spell check and you think you did a really awesome job, and we read the application and there's a word in there that you didn't mean to be in there. For, as an example, my daughter, we were talking this morning, our daughter was talking about how one of her friends had a paper and she did spell check and everything was fine. And her professor pulled her aside and said, "Hey, look at this word." She's like, "What? What do you mean? Look at this word. What do you mean? There's nothing wrong with it." Well, is that supposed to be minuet or minute? Oops. And my daughter said, you know, she was in a class and they said, "What do you want to do, you know, when you graduate? What do you want to do when you get out of high school?" And my daughter said, "I want to go to college." And guess how she spelled college? Collage. And just like message and massage. Okay? I mean, so I did that on a paper. Well, that's there's so many different things that we really need to be careful of, that we really do need not only to have our friends or associates or family members proof for us, but also with our ideas. We may know what we're saying, but does grandma understand? And if you give it to your grandma and your grandma understands it and it passes the grandma test, then you've got a good, strong piece of writing.
That's good points. When you are applying for scholarships or with the Department of Voc Rehab, and let's say you wanted to go into education, check your spell check or check your spelling, check your grammar. It's quite embarrassing that you say you want to go into a high-end professional field and your spelling, your grammar is poor. Fill out scholarships, fill out applications as if this is your job, because like Robert said earlier, you know, this is a good way to earn $50 an hour or $10 an hour, depending on the type of scholarship you're applying for, but do it with pride. Don't just fill it out and throw it out there and say, "They'll give it to me anyhow." That's not necessarily true, because the scholarship committee does look at your writing and how you're presenting yourself on paper. I also want to mention about the Board of Governors grant and the Pell grant. Again, if you are in a community college setting and you're struggling and or you're not sure what you want to do, it's getting tough for the federal government and the state government to give out the free money now. So if you stay in a community college, I believe it's five semesters, chances are you might not be getting the Board of Governors grant the sixth semester. And the Pell grant's getting the same way. If you have a over amount of units beyond what it would take to transfer, but a lot of the units are not transferable units to university, you are not going to be able to get those units using the Pell Grant because they're going to cut your funding back. So use the money wisely. Don't think it's just there because you're blind and you deserve it. This is not entitlement. That money is there for you to use for your education so you can be employed, not to just go to school. So take advantage of it, though. It's free money. It's available to you, and I really highly encourage you to do so. But we want to see the unemployment rate for people with visual impairment drop. It's still at 70%, and it's at 80% now, I heard, and we have to get that down. Jobs are coming back to the United States. We heard more and more that the United States companies are not resourcing out to customer service anymore because they realize how much difficult it is talking to a foreigner about a problem that they don't understand how we operate here. So they're beginning to bring those jobs back. But you have to be willing to go out on the limb. If you don't have the pre-vocational skill training, such as touch typing, Braille, mobility, especially mobility, getting from point A to point B and not depending on other people to take you, good communication skills, good interaction skills, and knowing how to socialize with people. Those skills are looked at by companies, and if you're going to be employed, you're going to have to be not only prepared financially with your Pell Grant and your scholarships to get you your education, but you have to really be prepared when you are presenting in front of an employer. So that is all I have. Nellie, one more, okay.
Another thought I have is we all know of Hadley School for the Blind in Winnetka, Illinois, and they have online courses as well as correspondence courses. And it is amazing. You know, I took a couple of Hadley courses a long time ago, pre-computer. And when I went online, because I have a couple of patients who are blind that I'm working with and teaching blind skills to, I was amazed at some of the courses that they offer for free that can give you a head start and a big boost in terms of information technology and other blind skills. So check that out, Hadley School for the Blind. Free courses. No, you don't necessarily get credit for them, but you know what? A lot of things that we do in life help us to grow, and those are that's one of the products that I think is probably very underutilized by our population.
All right. Anybody on the panel have any additional comments? I think we covered it. Well, thank you all for coming. And any questions out there? I guess not. Okay. Well, thank you for coming, and I hope you folks out there in Radio Land really participate and take advantage of this money if you are interested in attending school, and contact the Department of Voc Rehab and talk to your counselor. Thank you.